I had a vision early hours of this morning. I was actually, you know, just walking into my study to pray. And I had that vision. So that vision will form the major things I will be talking about. You know, the theme, well, it's not a theme. You just said God is good. So in my mind, I said, what, is this a theme or necessarily? Or we are just expecting the goodness of God. And the goodness of God can come from every angle. Anything God does is good. Yes. Anything. Because God can't do any other thing but to do good. The only thing God does is good. Now, if you don't have understanding, you will think, well, God is good sometimes. For those who don't have understanding of God will say so. They will tell you, well, God is good, not always. Praise the Lord. But we know that God is good. In fact, the Bible says, God is not just good, God is goodness himself. You can't separate that from God. If you take goodness away, then he won't be God. So he's always good. Every time you meet God, he's always good. Praise the Lord. And I love that song that brother did. God is good all the time. All right, but that's a song. But what the scripture says is that God is good and his mercy endures forever. In other words, the reason why God is good is because of his mercy. He keeps showing forth his mercy. It doesn't matter what you have done. God has a way of showing you his mercy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so I had this vision. So in that vision, I saw a rainbow. Now, rainbow signifies covenant. Every time you see a rainbow in the spirit, it represents that God is simply saying, I'm still a covenant-keeping God, which means whatsoever I've said, I will bring to pass. And I've seen the rainbows in my vision a couple of times, and I know what God is saying to me. Now, you remember when the earth was destroyed by flood, Noah saw a rainbow. And God said by that rainbow, he was establishing that he will not destroy the earth again. Praise the Lord. Now, as I looked at that rainbow, suddenly I noticed the word restoration written on it. And while I was in that vision, the voice of God said to me, my covenant of restoration with the earth is still intact. In other words, as long as this earth also remains, God will continue to restore. The work of restoration continues. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so I will be teaching majorly on restoration in this meeting. Why? Because he said to me that I will restore them. And when he said he will restore them, I know God is speaking about the people here. Now you see, and when he says them, there are two sides to restoration. One, God will have to restore you before he restores to you. Generally speaking, people have an understanding of God restoring to them because they thought they have lost something. But you see, the way God works is that there are two sides, like I said, to restoration. So God will restore you first before he restores to you. You know why? Because if God restores to you and not restore you, then you will lose it again. So God has a way of restoring you first. So God is going to do some work in our lives and then he will restore to us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And while I was thinking and meditating on that, it occurred to me that many times, God actually takes us or take us through a process of restoration. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before he restores to us. Praise the Lord. And it occurred to me while I was thinking about that, it's like you refurbishing a car. Have you ever refurbished a car before? Or refurbished a house? If a house is going to be refurbished, you will tear off some parts and replace it. That's what restoration actually means. So when God is going to restore you, it means it's going to take away from you. You may not like it, but God will forcefully take that thing away, and then he'll begin to put you together. So which means in this meeting, God is going to do two things. One, God is going to tear some part of you. There are things you love. God is going to deal with them. You say, in 2 days, well, listen to me. It doesn't take much for God to do what he wants to do. All right? So God will dismember you, if I should use that word. And then he will couple you together. Don't worry. And then God now will begin to restore to you the things that are necessary. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I trust God that this meeting is going to be all about restoration. While I was praying about that, sometimes if you have a vision, it's good to pray because all God is saying, there's more to it. And while I was thinking about what God was saying, still praying and meditating on what God said, he said to me, this restoration will manifest in wholeness and fast forwarding of times and season. He said, this restoration will manifest in wholeness and fast forwarding of times and seasons. Now, so my message has been cut out for me by God. So I will deal with the first one today. And then tomorrow, I'm sure I will conclude with the other part. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's go to scripture and trust God to speak to us from scripture. Bring clarity to what he's saying. Praise the Lord. Because you can't walk with God until you have understanding. And I always like to tell people that you can't walk with God until you have his perspective about what he's saying. Because you are not the one who is asking him to say it. Now, that's the reason why people don't walk with God. Because you try to explain what you think God is saying. No, you need to get his perspective. You have not gotten it with. That's why he said to that prophet, you know, in Habakkuk chapter 2, I will stand upon my watch and I will. No, I will. I will stand upon my watch and I will set me upon the tower. And I will watch to see what he will say unto me. So I will wait. Praise the Lord. Until I get God's perspective about what he's saying. Not what I am saying, but what he's saying. You have your perspective when you go to him. But you need to wait for him and have his perspective concerning what he's saying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. All right, Joel chapter 2. I want to take my scripture from there. Joel chapter 2 and verse 21. Joel chapter 2, I'll begin to read from verse 21 if you are there. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice. Why? For the Lord will do what? Great things. So the reason why we should rejoice and be glad is because God is going to do what? Great things. Praise the Lord. All right, next verse please, verse 22. Be not afraid, ye beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree, the vine do yield their strength. I'm reading on, sir. Hallelujah. I'm reading on. Verse 23. Thank you. I'll just read on till verse 27. And then I'll come back and pick the scriptures, the verses I want to talk about. It says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. So verse 24 says, when that happens, the floors shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years. I like the word years, not days, not months. Years. Years could be 50 years. If you're up to 50 like me, maybe more than 50 like me, then you know God can restore more than 50 years to you. Now, it may be 10 years, it may be 2 years, it may be 15 years, it may be 30 years, but he's saying that God will restore to you how many days? Years. I like the word years. So God can restore years. If he can restore days, he can restore years. Am I communicating? Yes. Praise the Lord. He can restore a century. He can restore a century. And we're about to see some things happen to us. We're about to see some things happen to us, which is a process of restoration that will happen as a nation. We're about to see it. I've seen it. I have smelt it. We are getting inch close to it. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent. I'm sure you understand that when God uses that terminology, my great army, which means I allowed them, it doesn't necessarily mean God sent them, but God allowed them. Okay. Praise the Lord. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that had dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be what? Ashamed. I like that word, ashamed. Or they shall not be disappointed. That's what he also means. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, or in the midst of GCCC. Is that? GCCC. All right. And you will know that I'm in the midst of glory. All right, fine. I just want to be sure that I'm still right. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of this church. And that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be what?
Ashamed.
One of the first things I want to quickly say is that God will remove the blanket of shame off you. That while God is doing a work of restoration, he removes every disappointment along your path. It's part of what God does. So if you have been disappointed before, you have an opportunity for God to restore that to you. Which means you will no more be ashamed. You will not be disappointed. That's what it means. Praise the Lord. Now, Joel actually was activated during a tough time in the land of Israel. At this time, if you begin to read, you know the book of Joel is not much. Just about 3 or so chapters. Now, you'll find out that Joel actually began to prophesy from the very beginning. And while he was prophesying, he began to talk about, you know, what was happening at their time and what God was going to do. And when you study, you find out that the reason why they went into the mess that they were in was because of the sin of Israel. Now, Israel, you know, every time they go into sin, God has a way of withdrawing his protection and his blessing from them. And so the enemy will normally come in and ravage them. And then eventually they will repent and God will come back again. God had done that over and over and over and over again when you read the Old Testament. Now, but one of those times, at this time, it was also a time where the children of Israel were actually in a difficult time. And in the midst of that, the ministry of Joel was activated. I discovered this, that God activates ministries for a specific time. And that's why if you try to prolong, you want to live beyond your time, it's not possible. When your time is done, God just, it's time to go home. So everybody is activated for a given time. Am I communicating? Why? Because God activates ministries so that they can actually become, an answer to the prayer of the time or the prayer of the people. So every time you see ministries coming into operation, it's because actually God is actually answering the prayer of certain people. Certain people are praying. And when we pray, God answers us by sending us people. That's one way God answers us. So when we begin to pray, God, take this hardship away. One way God will answer us is to send somebody who will actually speak the mind of God regarding that. Are you with me? Alright, so Joel was activated. And while the ministry of Joel was activated, Joel began to prophesy about what will also happen when the children of Israel repent. If you read chapter 1, earlier part of chapter 2, he was telling the people, you need to repent. You know, let the priest and, you know, the elders, let them go before the altar of God and let them weep, let them repent. And while they repent, then God will, you know, send rain back to the land. At this time, they had this, insects that will actually cripple all their crops. As they plant, just about the time they're about to harvest, then suddenly they come in and waste their crops. And so they are not able to harvest from it. All right? And while that was going on, he began to prophesy and began to tell the people. And I understand this, that many times, when you are speaking the mind of God, even the one who is speaking the mind of God, it doesn't make sense to you. And many times there's a tendency for you to even ask, am I really correct? Am I right? In July, I was prophesying to a lady. I was in Uyo. The lady was, in that queue, on the line. And I got to, I began to prophesy. I was asking myself, am I sure what I'm saying is right? Hallelujah. Because I was asking myself, the way I'm looking at this lady, it doesn't look like this lady has issues with what God is saying. So sometimes you can imagine that can happen. And I like to use Isaiah as a good example. Isaiah was a prophet, but his wife was also a prophetess. If you study about Isaiah, you know his wife was also a prophetess. And I'm sure the day he came and prophesied and said, a virgin will give birth to a son. I'm sure Isaiah himself will have gone back and said, Kai, I miss God today. Because you see, if you had said, a married woman will give birth to a son, everybody will just say, oh yeah, you got it right. But that's the way God speaks. But he came and said, a virgin. I'm sure the wife will have said, did you say virgin? He said, yeah, that's what I heard myself say. Hallelujah. A virgin will give birth to a son. Now, it didn't happen during his time. Neither did he have explanation for what he said. Because he wasn't the one speaking. That was God speaking through him. Now, I've been in that shoe a couple of times that sometimes I speak and I'm wondering, am I sure what I said is right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, we went to preach somewhere in, they called the place Takum, Taraba State. A long time ago. And the first night, it was a crusade. I wasn't the one to preach. My father in the Lord then was alive, and so he sent me to go represent him. And so I went the first night, I was preaching, and while I was preaching, I said, thus saith the Lord. I began to prophesy in a crusade ground. Crusade ground is not where you should be prophesying. Alright, that's where you preach to people to be saved. And I was prophesying, and I said that by this time tomorrow, just for you people to know that by this time tomorrow, if we do not close it, if we wait till this time, we will not be able to hold the crusade. Because it has not rained in that land for close to 2 years. And here was God saying there will be rain. I said, if you know the rain that you call, if you know the rain that will cause flood is what will happen. So when I finished, the pastor that went with me said, excuse me, sir. Did you hear what you said? I said, yeah, I heard what I said. That you said there's going to be rain tomorrow. The pastor that invited us said, you should not have even, see, you'll have just told me privately. He said, you know what? If rain does not fall, we're in trouble. I said, well, was I the one who said it? I said, God said it, so I don't have anything to protect. If God who said it, I trust that he will do what he will say. Praise the Lord. And I encourage him that we should start the meeting early. So we started by 5. He's a man of God. But if rain no fall, na trouble. Oh. I said, well, we trust God that God will do his word. As we were concluding the crusade and they were packing to go, rain fell. And you know what? A lot of people were stranded because of rain. So sometimes you just say words and you trust God that he will keep to what he has said. Praise the Lord. And somebody asked me, have you ever confidence given the word of God sometimes and you think it would surely come to pass? I said, well, I just trust God. Working with God for a while, I know that God will always do what he says. Praise the Lord. All right, so Joel was activated about this time, like I said, during the time of difficulty in Israel. And then it began from verse 21, because that's my interest. It says, fear not, O land, be glad then and rejoice. Why? For the Lord will do great things. Now, there's no reason why these people should rejoice. Because in the first place, they don't have crops. They are not harvesting crops. And you are saying to us now that we should begin to rejoice. Why should we be rejoicing when there's nothing to show for it? Anybody can rejoice when God has done it. But only people of faith can rejoice before it's done. Like Abraham of old, whom the Bible says he was giving glory to God in Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen? He said he considered not his body now dead, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. All right, but was strong in faith. Alright, I'm skipping many things there, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Oftentimes, we want God to do it. Anybody can thank God when it's done. But only people of faith can actually begin to thank God and tell him, Lord, we thank you because we know you can but do it. You can't but do it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that's the first thing he will tell them. So he gave them an instruction there, not to fear. He said they should be glad. And rejoice. Praise the Lord. To rejoice there means to make joy. That's what it means. So you can actually create joy. You can make joy. Praise the Lord. That's what he's saying. Alright, then verse 23 says, be not afraid, ye beast of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. Now, this is not happening yet, but that is what the word of God was saying to them. So it says, the fruit, the trees will bear her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Then verse 23 says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you what? The former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. When that happens, then verse 24 says, the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Verse 25 says, I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm, and so on and so forth. Praise the Lord. And on, then he says, my people shall never be ashamed. And he said that twice. Hallelujah. Now let's focus on scripture, because I believe in studying from verse 21 to verse 27, the key of these verse of scriptures, or verses if you like, is actually in verse 23. Because verse 23 says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he had given you the former rain moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, when that happens, the process of restoration will begin. Then he says, your floor shall be full of wheat. Your fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Then he says in verse 26, I will restore. Verse 25, he says, I will restore. Verse 26, he says, you will not be ashamed. Verse 27, he says, you will never be ashamed. Praise the Lord. Now, which means, listen to me, for God to bring this restoration in the lives of these people, they must understand what God is saying in verse 23. So verse 23 again says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he had given you the former rain, what? Moderately, and it will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. So there are two things there that I want us to quickly look at. The first thing is that it says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice. Again, I said to rejoice means to make joy. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe as I conclude, we will have time to make joy. Amen. Because that's God's instruction to me today. Hallelujah. Alright, it says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he had given you what? The former rain moderately, he will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at this scripture together. Now, did you notice that the word rain is mentioned four times? Alright? That word rain is mentioned how many times? Four times, which means by that it's not repetition. That is, that's more like God telling us that this is where the key to restoration is. That if it's going to bring a process of restoration, it is tied to rain. So he says again, for he had given you the former rain moderately. That's the first time, and it will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain. So you have four rains. They are mentioned, or actually rain mentioned four times. Praise the Lord. Now, the word rain, you know, in the Hebrew, it will read this way, for he has given you a teacher of righteousness in righteousness. So the rain is referring to is not raining season. He's talking about a teacher of righteousness. So I have given you a teacher of righteousness in righteousness. That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. So the children of Israel understand that he wasn't talking about physical rain, that he's talking about spiritual rain. Now, when you study scripture and you take time to read scripture, you find out that when we talk about rain, even we that are New Testament people, the first understanding we have about rain is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's what we understand as rain. I remember, you know, in the days when we got saved, we used to sing that song. It is raining all around me, I can feel it, the latter rain. Now, we used to sing that song, you know, in the 80s, and we'd dance and jubilate and rejoice and sweat, you know, and just enjoy what we know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is true. Zacharias chapter 10, and I believe verse 1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. And then it says, the Lord shall make bright clouds and give showers to everyone grass in the field. So rain there signifies the outpouring, manifestation, operation, if you like, of the Holy Spirit. Now, but I don't think that's what this scripture is talking about. So we want to look from that scripture, because if he's talking about a teacher of righteousness, praise the Lord, a teacher of righteousness by righteousness, then we need to understand what he's talking about. Praise the Lord. Now give me Isaiah quickly. Isaiah chapter 55. I want to read verse 10 and 11. Just to explain to us. Because he says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain commensurately. The teacher of righteousness. And it will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain when? In the first month. I will deal with that tomorrow, not today. I see God, removing clothes from people and giving them a new clothes. Tearing of clothes. You know how many times Joseph changed his garment? He didn't change his garment only once. He had a coat of many colors, but that was taken away from him. But go and read, and you find out that every advancement he made, every progress he made, he had to change clothes. So for you to make progress, God will have to change your clothes, because you can't use the same clothes for where he's taking you to. No, sir. No, sir. They will have to tear that off and give you a new one. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Hallelujah. But you know what God is also saying to me now, is that some of us are going to step into the shoes of others. Now, you know why? Because there's going to be levels of promotion that will happen in this place. And because there's going to be levels of promotion, you know, if somebody is being promoted, somebody will have to occupy where the person used to occupy. Do you understand me? So as God is moving us up, God will be moving you into somebody else's shoe. Oh, God said to Elijah that he should go anoint Elisha in his room. Why? Elijah was going to depart. He has a higher room that he was going to occupy. Am I communicating? Immediately, Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, immediately Elijah moved up. What happened to him? The mantle dropped. Elisha moved into his room, which means he was promoted. Initially, he was, well, later they called him, they say, man who poured water on the hand of who? Of Elijah. So he occupied the place. He became a prominent prophet in the same land. Not that he was operating with the same kind of anointing that Elijah was operating with. No, but he had a room cut out for him. I don't know if I'm communicating. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise God. All right. Now, that, but when he moved, who replaced where he used to be? Gehazi suddenly moved in there. Am I communicating? All right. So there's going to be a replacement. As people are moving up, God is moving you in. God is moving you. That's what I just heard and what I saw a while ago. You know why I was laughing? I was laughing because of what God was saying. And he said to me, it's not going to happen in days. It will happen in seconds. That's why I was laughing. It's not happening in days. He said it's happening in seconds. Now listen to me. How is that going to happen? Just sit down and keep hearing the word of God. It's happening. Praise the Lord. Now, how did the disciples, you know, the early apostles, the disciples, the first disciples of Jesus, how did they get saved? Hello? I think I can calm down a little. Do you know how they got saved? Let me ask you a genuine question. I think some of you, you know the Bible very well. Now, when did they do the sinner's prayer? Lord Jesus, come into our hearts. Are you sure they didn't? Now, but when Jesus resurrected, the Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive ye. That's when they got saved. Now, did that take a process? No, it just happened. Now, I said that to understand that God is doing a work. You won't know. You'll just find out that something has just happened in your life. That's the way God works. Praise the Lord. The breath of God is in his word. Oh, yeah. That's why when the Bible says it breathe into man, you except you don't have understanding, that's not mouth to mouth. God didn't. God just spoke. If you want to feel God, he speaks. The highest manifestation of God is his word. That's the highest revelation of God. You say, God, reveal yourself to me. He will speak to you. The Bible says, and the Lord revealed himself again in Shiloh to Samuel by the word of the Lord. I tell people, if Jesus should appear here and you see Jesus and everybody can see Jesus, say, Kai, and he's smiling at us, but he's not saying anything. My friend, start weeping.
Yes.
Because that is not Jesus. The Jesus I know will always speak. He talks. He will speak to you. He is the speaking that brings the change.
Yeah.
It's not your seeing him. There are people who have seen Jesus, but they have not been changed.
Yeah.
When John the Beloved saw him in Revelation, he spoke. And that's how he got to know he was the one. Do you get what I'm saying to you? Where am I? It looks like I'm in two worlds. Praise the Lord. All right, God helping me, I will be able to communicate all this truth today. Praise the Lord. All right, so it says, be glad. So we are talking about rain. Isaiah chapter 55, look at verse 10 with me. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth, and bud that it may do what? Give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. I can stop there and say some things here. Now, the way by which, if you know when you, this same scripture is quoted by Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I believe it's verse 8 or so, if I'm not mistaken. I think, verse 10. I think it's in verse 10. Alright? He said, he that ministereth seed. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister what?
Bread
for your food and? Multiply your seed sown. Many times, you know, I've asked God for a long time. Not now, but, you know, I kept asking God, well, how do you minister seed to us? And he said, go back to Isaiah where the word came from. So I went to Isaiah from where it went. So if you, I'm sure you know this scripture. All right? Who ministers seed? God. Who ministers seed? God. So every time you ask God for something, what does he do to you? He gives you seed. He doesn't give you harvest. It is what you do with the seed that produces the harvest. When you ask God for a job, he gives you the equivalent in seed. When you ask God for breakthrough, he gives you the equivalent in seed. Now, many times, we ignore and look down on seed. And we are thinking the breakthrough is what we are asking God for. Abraham was looking for a child. God gave him seed. Oh, hallelujah. In fact, later, Abraham will say, God, but you have not given me seed. In Genesis 15, when God said to him, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward, he said, God, if it is true, it is Eliezer that we inherit all these things we are talking about. And God said to him, why are you saying that? He said, because you have not given me a seed. He said, you will have a seed. In fact, let me show you that you're going to have a seed. So God brought him out and said, well, can you name the stars? Because in the Hebrew, they don't count the name. The Hebrew language doesn't count the name. That's why the Bible says, if you study scripture, I think it's in Psalm 147, if I'm not mistaken. It says that God knows every star by name. He calls them by their name, not by their number. So for you, it's easier. If I know everybody's name, I can know how many people attended tonight. Praise the Lord. I can say, okay, so number of people were here because I know everybody's name. No, God doesn't count us. He knows us by name. He can identify you by your name, not by your face. Are you understanding me? So when God said he should name the star or count the star, actually that's not what God was asking him. God was saying, okay, start naming the star. Because that's the way God works. Oh, when God created the animals and brought them to Adam, what did he do? He was counting them. No, he was naming them. When he said dog, started barking. When he said lion, he started roaring. So everything he called, they became. According to what he called them. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? That's the way God operates. That's the way God operates. So he knows your name. Now, some of us have natural names. But sometimes our natural name is not prophetic names. So God will have to give you a prophetic name like he did to Jacob, so that you know what your name really is. Then you can pursue your destiny and fulfill it. Oh, hallelujah. The name Joseph, not my own name, but when the mother named you, it's funny. I don't know if you have studied scripture. Jacob never named any of his children. It was the wives that named them. And every one of them named them according to their prophetic, the prophetic image they carried. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying many things. I told you I like in between two worlds. Am I confusing you?
No!
All right. Okay. So he named them, but when Rachel gave birth, named her first son, what? Joseph. Joseph simply means addition, which means God is going to give me another son. It came to pass. And that's the only person, you know, the second son, eventually while she was dying, named him Benoni. And that's the only name that Jacob will change and say, no, they can't be Benoni. This will be the son of my right hand. Hallelujah. All right, give me my scripture, please. I want to do something quickly. I want to connect the scriptures. So God supplies seed to the sower. God is the one who gives what? Seed. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. He that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers what? Bread for your food. So what do you want? His bread, is that not so? But what does God give to you? So he says both, which means containing your seed is your bread. Is your answer. But God packages that answer in seed. So if you despise it, that's why the Bible says despise not the days of small beginnings. So you have an opportunity to have harvest in it. Oh, hallelujah. You can start something. Why is it that God does not start you up with something big? If you start big, it will eventually end small. There are companies that have started big there. You know, today we are just driving and I'm seeing some places. I said, this place used to be here. What has happened? Closed up. I don't want to start big. I want to start small. That's the principle of God. That's the way God wants to raise us. Am I communicating? The only person God created big, did he make it? Adam. So from that day, God started making everybody. Even the Lord Jesus that came to save us had to be small. A baby. Grow. That's the principle of God. That's the way God operates. The only man that was created full man. Did he make it? He didn't make it. So God had to go back to his original plan. Praise the Lord. If you see a woman give birth to a full grown child, I'm sure you will say, even the woman will reject it. That's not the pattern. So why do you want your own business to just go? Pastor, I just started, and the business I'm employing 1,000 people. I just started today. Now that is abnormal. But you see, the mind of many people don't take it that way. No, God will start you up with a business. You will be the only person. You are the accountant. You are the general manager. You are the marketer. And maybe you started it just in your room. But gradually, as you are committed to it. You see, God, you know one thing I've discovered about God? God will not give you the picture of your beginning. He gives you the picture of an end. But you see, God doesn't start something that he has not ended. So, the reason why God is giving you, he doesn't give you the picture of the beginning, so that you will be excited about what you are doing and hold on to it, knowing that, this thing will grow eventually. But if you don't have that picture, there's a tendency for you to be asking God, grow it now. I just want it to grow. No, God doesn't work that way. God is a God of process. The things of God will go through process. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, you get married today, give birth today. That's abnormal. Jesus saw an abnormal tree. that was supposed to produce fruit when it was time for fig and wasn't producing. So Jesus said, no man eat of you from henceforth because you are abnormal. That you find in Mark chapter 11. And from that day, nobody ate of that tree. The next day, as they were passing, the disciples said, oh, Master, and I'm very sure it must be Peter. Peter. I like Peter. You know, Peter missed God many times, or missed Jesus many times, but he never stopped following. That's what I love about him. He kept following. When Jesus said he was going to the cross, he rebuked Jesus. And when Jesus insisted, after a while, the man went to fishing. Went back to his fishing. When Jesus resurrected, Jesus that you love this more than me. Praise the Lord. Alright, Isaiah chapter 55. Let me connect the scriptures. Can you project that for me, sir? Thank you. Isaiah 55. It says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it what? Bring forth and bud that he may give what? Seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now look at the next verse. He said, so shall my word be that goeth forth. So the word of God can be likened to rain, or rain here signifies the word of God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I sent it. Now take note of that, that God is saying that the same way he sends rain naturally, rain, he's using natural to explain the supernatural or the spiritual. He says, as I send rain from heaven, and snow from heaven too, and cometh down and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud that he may give what? Seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Now that scripture we read earlier or read later, you are in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 10, it says, he who ministers what? Seed to the sower, bread to the eater. How does God minister seed to you? His word. So when God wants to give you something, he gives you the word. The equivalent is the word. You see, if you play with it, you lose it. That's why the enemy is not coming for any other thing but for the word. The parable of the sower. What is he looking for? You think it's your life? No. The devil is not interested in your life. It's the word that makes you, sir. He knew that all the way from the book of Genesis. That what makes you, what the essence of your life is contained in what God has said to you. So if you are going to be it, you must honor what God. See, God values you to release his word into you. If God doesn't value you, he won't give you his word. Are you with me, sir? So, when God gives you his word, in his word contains that seed. What you do with the word will bring about your harvest, your bread. Are you still with me?
Yes,
sir. All right, so we are discovering that he's saying that rain is likened to what? To the word, or the word of God is likened to rain. So when the Bible talks about rain, so if we go back again to Joel now, it says, be glad then you children of Zion, that's Joel chapter 2 verse 23, be glad then you children of Zion and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain moderately and it will cause to come down for you the rain. The former rain and the latter rain in the first month, which means he's simply saying he has given you the teacher of righteousness. That's what I said in the Hebrew. That's what it reads. Who is the teacher of righteousness? Is the word of God. Now, what word is he talking about? Isaiah just explained to us, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So it's not just any word, but it's an instructive word. An instructive word? Instructive word can also mean a proceeding word. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. So there's the proceeding word. The proceeding word is the word that leaves the mouth of God. How do I know the word that leaves the mouth of God? The one that he is beaming to you. Is not everybody catching it at the same time? Oh, hallelujah. Now, God can speak to everybody in the world, but he is not. Because we are not all at the same level, even in God. Even if everybody in the world is saved today, God will not send the same word to everybody. He can't. Because we don't fulfill the same, we are not all called to fulfill the same purpose. Neither are we called to fulfill the same destiny. We have separate destiny. Even in this church now. So God will have to, distribute to you his peculiar word that carries your DNA in it. Are you following me? So, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void. I'll read another scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Give me verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. Look at it with me. It said, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall do what? Now, the word doctrine here means teaching. My teaching shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, as the showers upon what? Upon the grass. So again, we are discovering that rain is the word of God. That's what I'm trying to establish here. Praise the Lord. Now, let me quickly show you, because I'm also running. I'm trying to make sure that the time, you know, that I'm giving here, I'm able to do all I need to do before that time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let me show you what rain will do when you receive it. Now give me Deuteronomy, or let me start from Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. Thank you. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3 to 5. I don't have the time to read everything, but verse 3 to 5 will be fine. It says, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Now watch what will happen now. Then I will give you what? Rain in due season. In other words, even the word of God comes in season. Now, have you ever prayed before that you are waiting for a rhema, a word of God, and it's not coming? What that signifies is that God is telling you, the one I gave you last is supposed to sustain you. You have not finished doing it. You say, God, send a new word. I want a fresh word. My friends, the word of God is still fresh. Praise the Lord. I remember, you know, he went to a church and had visited that church consecutively for about 7 years. No, 6 years. It was the seventh year now. And, you know, this lady was very excited and she said to me, he said, Pastor, every time you come to our church, you keep giving me the same word, word for word. No addition, no subtraction. I said, you know what? It means for 6 years, you have not done what God told you. That's what it means. Because why will God still be saying to you the same thing? He said, oh, you mean it. That's the sixth, I mean, you know, in the sixth year, the seventh year was now when, you know, she was telling me something else. Now, but, you know, for 6 years, we had an opportunity or the sixth year, she actually spoke that to me and told me, say, this is the sixth time and you are telling me the same word. I said, that means you have not done what God actually asked you to do. So you need to take note of what God is saying, understand your part and do your part. Then God can give you further word. He says, is that all I say here? So the seventh year, I was back to the same church. And this time around, God gave her a different word. And he said, Pastor, do you know what? Oh, this thing is true. I say, yeah, it's true. Because I myself have worked in this thing, so I understand them. He said, okay, God gave me an additional word. And God actually spoke something new to me. I said, okay, that's because you have done what God asked you to do. So if God is telling you the same thing over and over again, it means you have not crossed that level. So why will you want God to tell you something when you have not done the last thing he told you to do? All right. Now, so watch. It says, I will give you rain in due season. The land shall yield what? Her increase. The trees of the field shall do what? Yield their fruit. Next verse, verse 5. And your threshing shall reach what? Unto the vantage, and the vantage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. That is a byproduct of the rain. Amen.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 11. Give me verse 13, 14. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, 14. Thank you. He says, and it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord thy God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Next verse, please. That I will give you the rain of what? Of your land. Now listen to me. My rain is different from yours. My word is different from yours. Except where God is speaking generally to the house. I've given some word that is generally to the house. But you see, specifically speaking, you cannot take what God is saying to me and try to put it on yourself. There's an aspect of Abraham's prophecy or word that we can claim. But there's an aspect you can't claim. Just like I tell people, you know, sometimes when you read Joshua, God said to Joshua, take these people from this side of Jordan to the other side of Jordan. And God said to him, you know, every place that the soles of your foot shall tread upon, I have given to you. All right? And God said to him, from this wilderness to this side of Jordan. And then he mentioned to him, to this side, to this side. Praise the Lord. Now, God was also careful to tell him it's not everywhere, so that he don't go back to Egypt and say, I lay claim here. And you know, many times people use that scripture to pray. So you go to somebody's house and you are laying claim there. Is that your house? Did God show you that I've given you? If he has not spoken to you, you can't lay claim to what God has not given to you. Now, I just come to this church now and then begin to walk everywhere. And I say, Father, I lay claim. What am I saying? That's covetousness. That's not faith. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And you know, people don't lay claim to what is just starting. They want to lay claim to what has been. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, but I just wanted to say something here. He said he will give you the rain of your land in his due season. So everybody has a peculiar rain. That's what I want you to see there. Your word is different from mine. So you need to stay with what God is saying to you. All right? That glorious things are happening in your life and I'm not there yet doesn't mean I should abandon my word and run to you. Because oftentimes we do that. We say, what's the secret? My brother, tell me, what did God say? Now, he can tell me what God said, but that's not what God is saying to me. If I try to run with it, you know what will happen to me? I'll be confused, frustrated, hindered, broken. And after a while, maybe I'll just get tired and say, this thing, you know, they work. It's not true. Hallelujah. That's why I tell people, when people give testimony, they don't tell us the whole truth. They just tell you the one you want to hear. Praise God. Thank God. You know, we've just been trusting God. You know, and God just gave us the breakthrough now. My friends, I've not told you anything. So don't go and follow me now and just say, praise God. God, the God that gave that man breakthrough, give me mine. No, I didn't tell you. If you want to know, call him to the side and say, is it that just all you did? Let him tell you what he went through. And then you will now take what he has done and trust God to speak to you. That's why I like the woman with the issue of blood. She was told, she heard about Jesus, but she didn't act. She just heard once, but she didn't act. I want to believe that what she heard was, if you can get to this man's meeting, there's another physician in town. If you can get to his meeting, this one doesn't use drug, no surgery. But if you get to his meeting, you may be healed. And I like that woman too. She never gave up. You know, if she had given up, even when she was told about Jesus, she wouldn't have gone. You know, there are people who have given up on life. When you say, can you try this or that doctor? Which every doctor you tell this woman, she goes. That's why she was spending all she had. All right? So the woman didn't give up on life. She was hopeful. That's why hope is the foundation for faith. If somebody is hopeless, it doesn't matter what you are telling him about faith. He's not interested. Praise the Lord. Now, but this woman heard about Jesus. Then the Bible says she said to herself. She said. Now, where did she get that from? She said to herself. Who told her that? Now, while she was thinking on what she heard, her own rhema came. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be healed. Nobody told her that. So what rhema did you get from what was said? So that you don't walk with what, say, oh, the woman just heard about Jesus. No, no. She said to herself. Like one of our pastor's wife recently came around and he said that the reason why Jesus said that virtue has left me is because every other person that was touching Jesus, listen to me, nothing was going out. So when this woman touched, that Jesus almost fainted. He said, ah, power don't go out of me. Alright? Now, but what I'm just saying is that that woman received her own word and acted on it. Alright, where am I? Ooh, you are there. Leave it alone. Thank you. And I will give you the rain of your land in his due season. Now watch this. The first rain. Okay. Should I enter this now? Okay, he give you what? The first rain and the latter rain. There are two rains. I don't want to enter that. I'll leave it till tomorrow. Okay? So he give you the first rain and the latter rain. Now watch this. That thou mayest, King James, that you may gather thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Let's stop there. Now, when he gives you his word will enable you to gather in what? Your corn, your wine. Now, I understand gathering your corn. But I don't understand gathering your wine. Because you don't harvest wine. Neither do you harvest oil. How many of you have planted oil before and you harvested it? Okay? Is there anybody who planted wine? Hello? Hallelujah. Even the non-alcoholic wine. Now, how many of you have planted it before? Just carry it now. Just dig that ground. Sow it. And you wait 9 months or maybe 3 months later, you harvest it. Now, but watch what he says. He says, by rain, when rain comes, gives you your peculiar rain, the first rain, and the latter rain, then he says that thou mayest what? Gather in thy corn. So I understand that because you must plant corn to harvest corn. So he says you will harvest corn. I understand that. Praise the Lord. Now, but I don't understand harvesting wine and oil. No, what he's saying is that, listen to me, rain enables you to turn your raw material. He will give you ingenuity to turn your corn, because from corn, you compress it, you get wine. You compress it, you get oil. So which means when God sends you his word, listen to me, what is that word again? Instructive word. Don't forget. What did I call it again? Proceeding word. If I take it further, rhema. Alright? If I take it further, prophetic word. Hallelujah. If I take it further, the disclosing word. Which means the word that discloses to you a matter from the divine. Are you with me? All right. Now, watch. So which means when God sends rain to you, your rain enables you, apart from planting and harvesting, is that even from your harvest, God will give you wisdom to know how to add or make more from your little harvest. Oh, hallelujah. That's ingenuity. But that doesn't come except by rain. All right, let me read one more scripture. And then I will tie it up and give you one or two examples in scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Give me verse 11 and 12. No, 12 and 13. Give me 12 and 13. I'm just running. Hallelujah. It says, and the Lord shall do what? Open unto thee his good treasure. I like the word good treasure, which means the treasure of God. When it's open, what comes out? No. Good treasure, the heavens. So his treasure is where? In heaven. But when God opens his treasure, what comes out? Rain. Thank you, rain. So God secures his rain. Now, the word treasure here doesn't mean valuable alone. It also means where you keep valuables. So the most valuable thing as far as God is concerned is his rain, his word. God hides it. That's why you don't find the word of God everywhere. That's the most valuable thing to God. Is his word. You saw his word. He's a person. His name is Jesus. You call him Jesus, but when you go to Revelation, at the beginning was called, in John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the word, not Jesus. It was because he was going to come to the earth, and because he had also triumphed, that name was given to him. Because in Philippians chapter 2, he said, a name was given to him that was above every name. Oh, hallelujah. The name Jesus, he got it, one, by birth. Because everyone who lives, in fact, God said to me, if you don't have anything that, any invention that does not have a name will die premature. So a child that does not have a name, you know, sometimes when I'm ministering to people, you know, like I did 2 days ago, I was ministering to some people who are trusting God for the front table. I said, what is the name? Do you have the names of your children? Because you need to know the names. You can't be trusting God for a child that you don't have their names. Are you following me? Rebecca was the one who tapped into that frequency. Because she had twins. And was having so much trouble. Not just morning sickness. And then went to inquire from God and say, hey, Lord, why am I having so much trouble with this pregnancy? And God said, well, that's because. Now, can you imagine that she didn't inquire? Listen to me. Working with God requires you inquiring part time, sir. You can't work with God and just close your eyes and keep walking. No, you miss God. He said, God, why am I having this trouble? He said, because you have two types of people. There are two nations in you that have two natures. Huh? And then he began to tell her how they will come and what they will fulfill. And said, the younger one will be the one that will hold the covenant and will be the child of covenant. The senior one will be the one that will serve the younger one. Jacob didn't have that understanding. I'm sorry. Isaac. Isaac didn't have that understanding. That's why Isaac was still trying to lay hands on Esau and pass the blessing on him. Because he didn't have that information. That revelation wasn't, it was the wife that had it. It's just that the wife went the wrong way. You know, there are people who try to fulfill the word of God by a crook or by a hook. Anyhow, just it must just happen. Praise the Lord. A young prophet was sent to go and anoint a general and said he will become the king. The man fulfilled the word by force. He just went to the king and used pillow and killed the man. And then he came to him. There are people like that, though. It's just that it won't happen by the Lord. It will happen by yourself. You are now forcing yourself to become it. And you know what? You know, because you try to fulfill it by yourself, you will also try to eliminate everybody. In case anybody is also planning to do a coup, you kill everybody. Because you see, you don't have that assurance. But if God fulfilled that word for you, you'll be at. That's why David didn't do anything to protect his throne. When his son Absalom was after him, the man left. He was saying, oh, God, you gave me this throne in the first place. So why will I try to protect it against my own son? Let him come and rule. That's why you don't fight for what God has given to you. If God can't fight for you, he didn't give it to you in the first place. Because God will protect what he gave you. Did you notice that David came back to the throne? Who died? Absalom. Why? Because he wasn't his place. Even if God planned it, well, even if he thought it, well, you know, I should become the king. No. Hallelujah. And Ahithophel, who went with him, what happened? You know how Ahithophel went with him? Ahithophel was actually, I don't want to go into that, let me leave it alone. Ahithophel, it is said that when he speaks, it's as though God has spoken. But that was the first, that's why he went and hung himself. Because he gave counsel that was rejected. And you know, if Absalom had taken his counsel, they would have killed David like this. But David was also wise. He said, God, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And you know what? I like what David did. David knew Ahithophel too. He sent his own lutner. He said, go and stay in their camp. So that when they are speaking, you will also have a voice. And when he was asked, he said, don't send. You know that David has been a warrior from youth. That he knows that you people will come after him tonight. And he'll be waiting for you people. He said, really? He said, so what do we do? He said, no, just relax. Let's wait for a while. Then send message to David. He said, this is what they are planned. Though. You people need to ship this in case. You also need to have your own SSS. That what are they saying? Praise the Lord. David, a wonderful man. Where are we? And the Lord shall open unto you what? His good treasure. So what's his treasure? The rain. That's his treasure. Alright? Unto thy land where, when again? In his season. To bless what? All the work of thy hand. And thou shalt what? Lend unto many nations, and thou shalt know what? Borrow. Next verse, please. Then it says, and the Lord shall make thee what? The head. When the rain of God comes to you, the word of God, the proceeding word, the instructive word, the what did I call it again? Rhema. The Rhema word of God. That's spoken word. Huh? What else? Disclosing word. When that word comes to you and you act upon it, these are the manifestations you begin to see in your life. So he will bless the work of your hand. God bless the work of my hand. Oh, I see people, even me as a pastor, many times people just come to me. Pastor, can you just pray for me? I just want God to prosper me. And I'm wondering, you think God is against you? God wants you to prosper. Your prosperity is an advantage to the kingdom. That's if you have understanding. So why will God be stopping you from prospering? But if you are not prospering, it's because either you have not received the word of God. Because in what God says is your prosperity. Hallelujah. Amen. So you stay with it. He said he will bless the work of your hand. And then he will make you the head and not the tail. You'll be above only, you'll not be beneath. By the word of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Alright, let me quickly show you one or two examples from scripture as I connect the scriptures. Amen. Thank you. 2 Kings chapter 7. Just give me verse 1 and 2. 2 Kings chapter 7. We are talking about instructive word. And Elisha said, hear what? Hear ye the word of the Lord. Now take note of the word. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Before he said, thus saith the Lord, he first said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Why? Because hearing, your hearing it is very important. You can be nonchalant about the word of the Lord. But hey, I need your attention. That's what he was saying. Give me your attention before I tell you what God is saying. Now, if you understand, okay, let me read through first. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall what? A measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for what? A shekel in the gate of Samaria. Verse 2 now. Then the Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord, that's a slap on God. If the Lord, if they say, people of faith say, if is what? Unbelief. Lord, if you can do it for me, please do it. He won't do it. Because you are not sure if he's ready to do it. No, faith says, Lord, we know you want to do it, so I trust you to do it. Am I communicating? Now, watch it. What again? Then the Lord, whose hand the king answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might these things be? And he said, behold, thou shalt see it with what? Thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. Now, I'll stop there. Now, if you go, this story actually started from 2 Kings chapter 6. The Bible says in Israel about this time, Samaria, you know, was besieged by a king. His name is Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad just one day came and besieged the whole city. So nobody could go out, nobody could come in. And as a result of that, they had their crops, but they couldn't bring it in. They couldn't buy, they couldn't sell. All right? And then eventually the food got finished in the city. They couldn't go out, because if you go out, you are in trouble. That's how their famine, this famine actually came about. It was as a result of, that's why Paul will write by the Spirit and says that God will deliver us from wicked and unreasonable men. Some famine in our nation has been caused not by the devil, by wicked men. You know, the day they just wake up, they say, I think cement is too cheap. That's wicked men. I'm telling you. Increase the price. And before you know, since they are the ones dominating that area, I'm just using that example. But have we not bought fuel? One day you just wake up. There's so much, there's queue everywhere. It has happened over and over again in this country. And at the end of it, when you look at it, it's just wicked men. That's what part of the prayer I pray in recent time. Lord, deliver us from wicked men, even as a church. Because there are people who, listen to me, can rubbish your work. They don't believe in you. That's why Paul had to say, pray for us. Pray for me. That God will deliver me from those wicked men and those who do not believe in the gospel that I have to present. So there are such people. Their hearts are bound to go to hell. And they are ready. Listen to me. They are ready to stop you. And you see, if you are not spiritual, you too will fall to their level and start boxing. So you need to pray that God will deliver you from such people. Amen.
Amen.
Now, how he will deliver you is not your own decision. If God wants to kill them, amen. But my own is God, deliver me. I won't ask them to die, but Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from them. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Praise the Lord. Okay, wicked men, for all men have not faith. And that's true. It's not men that have faith too. There are some people that you will be talking, they are saying nonsense. Idiot. Praise the Lord. Those are the kind of people that we need to pray. Because if you don't pray, some of them one day can come and say, that church that is in that street, not this church. I mean that church. Mm-hmm. That church should be removed there. And listen to me, is an authority. If God does not help you, they will remove it. And that will be the end of it. So we need to pray for such people not to exist, not to be in power. Because if they are there, they will frustrate what we are doing, sir. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now the question somebody is asking me now is, but God should be able to. So he knows this is his work. Yeah, God knows, but that's why he has kept us here. Are you with me? All right. Leave this scripture alone. Let's go back to my scripture. What scripture did I say? All right. So this happened. I was talking about what happened. It started in Second Kings chapter 6. So Ben-Hadad besieged the city of Samaria, so nobody could go in, nobody could come out. And as a result of that, there was serious famine until the Bible says two women agreed to kill one son today, then tomorrow we'll kill the other one. Because, go and read it, that's the way the Bible puts it. He didn't say 2 months later, he said tomorrow, you will eat my own today. Which means, these people must, for you to be able to eat a fully grown young man today, and then tomorrow we'll eat the second one. Must be very hungry. It's not as bad yet in Nigeria that we are killing our children to eat yet. Alright, maybe, I don't know, but I don't think it's that bad yet. So, these women agreed. The first woman gave her son. And you know, every time I teach about that, sometimes tears come to my eyes. Now, can you imagine maybe a 14 or a maybe 14-year-old, maybe 17-year-old boy? How do you think they will kill him? They will have deceived him. Because if he knew, they won't come home. Maybe they gave him something that will make him sleep. And then they will bring out the knife. How do you think they will kill him? You slaughter him. Sometimes when I read scripture, I want to visualize what really happened. Because that's how it comes home to me. So, you must have slaughtered the boy. What do you think will happen? Blood will have gushed out. The same way when you kill that your ram, or kill that your... That's what must happen. Then they start dismembering. They started cutting this part. Alright? If they were from the southwest, they will use part of it to cook asu, to make asu, spicy asu. If they were from south-south, it depends, maybe Akwa Ibom, they will use part of it to make edikaiko, I mean, and white soup, and afang, and editan, and the rest. All right? Now, if they are from the north, they'll maybe use it to cook a miankuka. All right? If they are from east, you know what they can use to go. Ngwongwo. Nkwobi. Now, but that's what must have happened. And then if they are also from the north, they will do suya. But they finished that boy that day. The next day, the other woman now came to the woman that was to give her own son and said, okay, it's time now. Can you release your son? He said, I know. I'm sure she must have sent that boy far away. And I learned something from there. The Spirit of God said to me, the future of these women were their children. And he said to me, if you eat your seed, you will be in need. Which means you have killed your future now. What is the primary reason for seed? Future. Tomorrow. That's why anybody who has a future, you don't destroy your seed. Whatsoever your seed is, you don't deal with, you don't destroy it today. Because your future is hanging on it. Do you understand me? All right. Now, so eventually the king got to know. And then the Bible says, he tore his garment and discovered he had a sackcloth. Sackcloth simply means the man also was going through a period of fasting. I'm wondering what will happen. But when he had that, he said, where is Elijah? You mean Elijah is still in this country? He said, yes, okay. Well, Elijah can't live. As long as we are going through this, he too cannot live. We have to cut his neck off. And they were going to go after Elisha, to kill him. But thank God, by revelation, he got to know that the son of the murderer was after him. And then he told his elders, when he comes, hold him down. Don't allow him to enter. When his servant come here, don't allow him, because I'll go and see the king. So that's how he came and met the king and said, hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. About this time tomorrow shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for what? A shekel, at the gate of Samaria. Now, when he said that, how many of you know that is very, how can you say in 24 hours, we don't have food now, people are killing their children to eat, and you say in 24 hours we'll have so much food here. Now, there's a tendency for you to doubt it. That's what happened to that man. So the man said, even if God is to make windows in heaven. Now listen to me, the windows of God are the voice, are the men that he has sent to us. Those are the windows of heaven. If God wants to speak to us, he speaks to us by his Spirit, but he also speaks majorly using men to bring the light of God to us. Either by teaching, by preaching, or by prophetic declaration. So he was saying, even, and there is a window of heaven open. And he said, even if God is to make windows in heaven, by these things be. But I like what Elisha said to the man. That's not part of the prophecy, original prophecy. He said, well, since you doubt me, you also will not be able to eat. Which means you won't live to eat it. You will see it, but you won't what? Eat it. Praise the Lord. Now, but you know my interest there was that he said, by this time tomorrow shall a measure of fine means refined flour, not a measure of rough flour, refined. You know what that means? He's simply saying, listen to me. Can you imagine in 24 hours you have not planted, you have not harvested? You need to harvest first. Then you will take it to a grinding mill. And then they will grind it. And then you sieve it before it is refined. But here is the prophet. He is saying that by this time tomorrow you will be eating refined. He didn't say you will buy. With exorbitant amount. No. He said you will buy. With what? With the shekel. So cheap. And so when they had that, there's a tendency for them to say, Kai, is it possible? Can these things happen? Is it going to be? That's what was happening to that man. But when you read on, you find that since he didn't believe the first word, he also didn't believe the second word. The first word said to him, you will see with your eyes, but you will not partake in it. The second word, since he didn't believe the first word that said, all right, by this time tomorrow, shall there will be abundance of food, let me put it that way. All right, since he didn't believe that first word, he also didn't believe the second word. Because when he was appointed to be the one in charge of food, he should have just rejected it. That, oh king, deliver my life. But since he didn't believe the first word, he also didn't believe that what Elijah proclaimed, that you will see it, but you won't partake in it. He thought it was a joke. He was appointed. Why was he appointed? That the word of God may come to pass. That's the way God works. The king didn't see any other person to appoint except that man. And he too accepted it. And you know what? That was leading to his death. He accepted it and eventually died in the midst of it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you still with me?
Yes,
what am I saying? I'm just saying to you that God is about to bring a restoration.
Yes.
And the way he's going to bring it is by rain. Yes. Now, but listen to me as I conclude here. I will tell you something, but I think I will give one or two people the word of God. They've been flashing me like this. It's been coming over and over again. I think tomorrow, maybe I will have more time to prophesy, speak to people, you know, as the Spirit. Tonight, I just want us to act on what God said to me. Hallelujah. But my brother, you know, you've been coming to me over and over again. And I'm hearing the Spirit of God saying for me to tell you, it's broken. It's broken. It's released. I hear the Spirit of God saying for me to tell you, find ease of doing things. You know, you talk about ease. Okay, Nigeria said ease of doing business. Now, I'm hearing the Spirit of God saying, you will find ease of operating the things you have been doing all this while. I hear the Spirit of God saying for me to tell you, I'm removing the restriction. And I'm bringing you into a place, say, of the Spirit of God, that you will have dealings even with the governmental. I'm hearing the Spirit of God saying for me to tell you, it won't be long from now that you will be sent for. And I hear the Spirit of God saying the things you have done to a level. You have done it over and over again. But I hear the Spirit of God saying for me to say to you, now it will be much more appreciated as a result of that which I am doing, saith the Spirit of God. For the workings of my Spirit within you will open you into this border, saith the Spirit of God. For I hear the Spirit of God is saying for me to say to you, then you will find that your well will suddenly spring forth. For I hear the Spirit of God saying for me to tell you, even the Philistines that have filled it with death, you will find that water will still spring forth. And it will bring refreshing not only to you, but also to those that will come around you, say of the Spirit of God. But I hear the Lord saying for me to say to you, there are things you have done with other people to a measure. But I hear the Spirit of God saying frustration. But I hear the Lord saying for me to tell you, I'm turning frustration into appointment, and I'm bringing into a place, say of the Spirit of God, where you will have cause to rejoice and celebrate as a result of God breaking through for you and breaking forth in it, saith the Spirit of God. That's what I heard. That's what I saw. That's what I heard. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what God said to me? So I go back to what he began, or what we began to read again in verse 23 of Joel chapter 2. He says, be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. I said to rejoice means to make joy. The Holy Spirit said to me this afternoon, he says, tell the people to rejoice because that is the process by which I am breaking the people through. Now watch. No. Oh, don't wait. Let me get there. Hold on. There are things I need to say further. Now, I see that some of us in this place, if not everybody actually, but I see that God is going to remove obstacles and remove limits. I actually saw God removing, you know, it's like somebody walking and you are hitting your leg, all right? I saw that and the person stumbled and fell. Because, you see, it's like you walking, not looking. If you hit yourself against the stones, normally you stumble and sometimes you fall. And I saw some people walking, they are trying to progress, but they hit because there's an obstacle, not obstacle that is evident. It's not pronounced. It's not visible. It's there, but it's not visible. Okay? It's like you hitting your leg against a stone, you know, while you are walking, not knowing. Why? Because you are focused on where you are going to. You are not looking around. And I saw the person stumbling and falling, you know, on his hands. And the Holy Spirit said to me, it's a condition. It's not everybody, but it's a condition. Then he said he will remove that obstacle. Now, then he said to me, he said this also to me, that there are also people who their own obstacle is that they have gotten to the end of the wall. It's walled high. So it's not coming to you to even try to jump it because it's quite high. You are looking at it, but you know, I have done everything I know to do. What you are now deciding, it's not everybody. I'm just speaking different conditions here. What the person, you know, it's like you get into a wall that is very high. Am I communicating? And then you turn back and you are not coming backward. And you know what the Lord said to me? I'll remove that wall. So that you have access. Praise the Lord. Then the third category that God spoke to me about, he said, there are people who are successful, but they have not been able to cross that level of success. He says, tell them, and so I'll just tell you the way he said it. He says, you will beat your last record. Now, every athlete wants to beat not just their own record. They must beat their record before they can beat the world record. Is that not so? Yes. All right. So, was it last year that our lady beat, Amoson or something? Amoson. Okay. You know, beat not just her record, but the world record. That's the peak of it. Is that not so? And you are hoping nobody will beat that record. Now, the Holy Spirit said to me, there are people here, you are successful, you have done a little, but you have not been able to cross that barrier. And God said, he will remove limits so that you can beat your last record. Yeah. Hallelujah. My palms are burning. And when that happens, I can sense what God is doing. Hallelujah. It means there's a serious shift. God is promoting people and moving people forward by the hand of God. Now watch. Let me just show you what God showed me. I think when you see what God showed me, we will know why he says that we should rejoice. He says, be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice. And I said to rejoice means to make joy. To create joy. Create joy. Just create joy. Well, you know, Psalm 100, I think it's verse 1. Give it to me quickly. Psalm 100, verse 1, but that's not the scripture I really want to read. I will be reading a different scripture. Psalm 100, verse 1. What does he say? My brother, where are you? What did he say? Make a joy. So this is what it means to make. Hold on. We have the time. And there's something I want to show you. So it means to make joy, to rejoice is to make joy. And the way to make joy is means to create it. To create it simply means one way you can create joy is to make a joyful noise. Unto who? So noise can be made to God. Right? So when we scream and we are doing it to the Lord, you see, I can scream. Maybe I've not seen Pastor Zach in a long time, maybe 15, 20 years. Then I see, oh, oh! But that is not to the Lord. That is for seeing him. Okay. And you know, my scream, I can scream like that, and somebody can actually interpret that to be that I'm screaming to God. But I will know that this is not for God. Now, so it's actually you who will determine if that scream is for God or not. Alright, so Psalm 47. Hallelujah. Psalm 47, give me verse 5 and 6. I'll read it in the King James. I'm sure you have the TPT. You have the TPT? If you don't have the TPT, Pastor Zach, let me not come to this church again without... No, I didn't say go there. I said give me in King James verse. Where are you going there? Are you here listening to me or you are? Alright, it says, God is gone up how? God is gone up how? With a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Give me the next verse, please. Verse 6. Sing praises to God, which means one way also to make joy is also to sing. You may not sing my song, but you may sing your own. Create your own. Sing it in your own way. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? If you speak Yoruba and you can sing in Yoruba, you sing in Yoruba, God is not bothered. If you can speak, sing in Tiv. I like the Tiv people, the way they pull that their money. Is there any Tiv person here? I'm looking for a church. I want to, you know, I went to Boko one time. That's how they sing in that church. They praise God with... I know the reason why they can dance like that. You know why? They eat a lot of pounded yam. And their own pounded yam, they don't put all water in it. I'm telling you, if a thief man invites you, they pound it like that until it becomes soft. No water. So, that sister that will marry that thief brother. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. ici. Il écoute ici. Il écoute ici. Il écoute ici. Écoute ici. Alléluia. 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 You know, you were singing. I was hearing God speaking to me in Yoruba. Now, it's not common. I hear God, but this one is so... You know, Paul was the one who said that on his way to Damascus, he was recounting what happened later. I think that must be in Acts of the Apostles chapter 26. It says, and I heard the Lord speaking. He was now recounting what happened. He said, I heard him speak in the Hebrew tongue saying, Saul. So when he said Saul, he was actually hearing the Hebrew tongue. Now I heard in the Yoruba tongue. And you know what he said? Otishi. Otishi. Then he said, Ile kutishi. Il écoute ici.
Hallelujah.